Hey everybody, welcome back to another lovely episode. Ooh, it started to break up right as we started recording. I don't know if you heard that. Anyway, welcome back to another lovely episode of the Over Sharon Show. This is episode number 666. Episode number six.
Not 666.
It was breaking up, I think. I said six. I don't know what happened there. Episode number six. I didn't mean to say sex. We were talking about that before the show. But I say that because we're going to be talking about that topic, so we might as well just get it out in the open right ahead of time, you know? And it's funny that we laugh, too, because we're going to get into that, why we laugh when someone says sex, or why would they even say sex instead of six, and then why is it even a joke? Anyway, I'm joined today by my lovely co-host, Sharon, the new star of the Sea Shanty. I don't know if you've heard it yet, but you got to listen to it, the one by Alatree Bear. The lovely Sharon sings backup vocals and it sounds amazing. So if you haven't heard it, check it out. And she's really blowing up. So I'm telling you, get behind this one. She's a winner. Anyway, what's up, Sharon? How are you today?
I'm great. It's a lovely day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Riding off that sea shanty high.
Yeah.
That really is an amazing song. I've heard it ahead of time and yeah, we all know that. But anyway, it's great stuff. So I'm excited.
Yeah. All credit goes to Alatree Bear and Old Wise Bear who wrote the lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely those guys
and
are
Born
crushers.
Bear who did, you know, some of the
lyrics and Sharon Bear who also did some lyrics and, you know, everybody who kind of encouraged and everything, because that's really what it takes. You know, it's not just Alatree Bear or just, you know, what's his name? Old Wise Bear. I love that name. Actually, I can't believe I just blanked out on it. Sorry, that's Old okay. Wise Bear. Yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh, sometimes I see a good bear name and I get like, I'm like, ugh, I distracted. Love that name. I'm like, yeah. I'm going to steal it. No, but I'm like, because this is the thing. The secret is like my name is with this whole Owen Benjamin thing. I go by Bonanza Bear, allegedly. And I go by that for several reasons. It's more of a description of what I am and what I have to offer, a virtual bonanza. And I also like that show Bonanza that used to be on. I'm not like when I hear it, I'm not like, yeah, like when I hear Old Wise Bear, I'm like, yeah, I wish I had a name like that, you know. But again, I love my name because it starts with a B. It's seven letters. It perfectly describes what I do and it goes along with my show. So it's great, but it's funny when I hear Old Wise Bear and stuff like
Brandon.
That. Yeah. Exactly. Let's go. Maybe I'll be Let's Go Brandon Bear. I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah, I could be both. I could be AKA. But yeah, shout out to those guys because again, it takes a village. It takes everyone getting together to do this stuff and to be motivated. Now that the bear community heard it and loves it, it's only gonna be more.
But, it gives more motivation for sure.
Exactly. Absolutely. So what are we going to be talking about today, though, Sharon? That's really what the fine people listening want to know. Oh, and shout out to everybody in the chat right now. Thank you. You know, we love you out there.
Smash that like button.
That's right. Smash that like button. And
Rogan's up, everyone.
Yeah, say what's up. And if you are watching this later and you don't know, every Thursday night we premiere these and we are in the live chat. So it's pre-recorded, but it does premiere. Go ahead.
Be busy. During the live
How dare you
this week, but I'll try.
You didn't have to say that. You just what you do is you pretend you're texting when you're at your event and you just go, oh wow, that was hilarious. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so she might be a little late or whatever, but we'll figure it out. I'll be there to hold it down. It'll be 11:11. So if you guys that's right. Oh, it's 11:11, everyone. Happy 11:11.
Yeah.
And if you're not, if Sharon's not in here, we'll just pick on her or something. It'll be fine. No, I'm sure she'll at least make it toward
Give
the end.
Give me all the action items.
Yeah. And if she's not there, you can talk to her on the Over Sharon, the after chat. We're going to do that this week, right? We might as well do that. That's on the Telegram. Tell people how they get there.
Okay. Well, we have an after hours chat group in Telegram. And if you know me on Telegram, send me a message. And if you want to get added, and I'll add you in.
All right. And if you have no idea what Telegram is, go to your app store on your phone, type in Telegram, T-E-L-E-G-R-A-M, download the app, and then look for me or Sharon. And you would find me. How does that work? Through phone numbers? That's the best way to find it.
You can, emails. For me, you can use B-E-L-L-I-Z-I-M-A.
There you go.
And Brandon, you are Bonanza Bear, I think, but I can't remember if it has an underscore or not.
Yeah, I believe it does. So it's at B-O-N-A-Z-A, Bonanza underscore.
You forgot the end.
B-O-N-Z, you spell it, Sharon. Bow, B-O-N-A-N-Z-A, underscore B-E-A-R. I did it. Now my phone's ringing.
Did it.
Oh, it's Joe. Somebody, hi, Joe. Shout out to you. You might be in the chat. I'll have to talk to you later because I'm recording. Sorry, buddy. Ooh, right at 30. We were at 33:44 in the Zoom, not in the recording. Anyway, yeah, crazy. So yeah, check us out on Telegram. We'll be in there chatting away, and we have a guy that's going to be running it and stuff. So it's all going to be legit and fun, and we'll be sharing stuff even after. So after the show, we'll be in there, you know, but then even afterwards, if you want to share with us during the week, you can share some gravy or stuff you might want us to talk about, or you can comment on the show, all kinds of stuff. That's what we're going to work on, building our little following. So if you guys go there, you can do it. And the best part about it is we don't require any, you know, experimental medical serum to be a part of it. Everybody, you could have taken it. You don't have to take it, whatever it is. No, you know, you don't have to, whatever, you get it. Anyway.
What did you call it last week? A pimp pass?
A proof of medical
procedure.
Procedure. Pimp. Yeah, guys, pimp, if you haven't listened, go back and listen to 5.5. We talk about the pimp card and what that's all about. Are you being pimped? Anyway, Sharon, what are we talking about today? I think that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and then we got off topic somehow.
We were oversharing.
Oh, as always. So... So I've been wanting to write a blog post, and I think that mostly it's going to end up being a podcast on this show if I don't ever write it. But I've been wanting to write about just this topic of relationships and meeting people, and how to go about that in a practical way, because we find ourselves in so many, we find ourselves in a place where, like, even on Big Bear's Owen Benjamin's stream, he talks about it pretty often, where he brings up people who want to be in relationship, they want to meet somebody, and then they want to come together, but it's just not working out, and people are either too hasty or too aggressive or too strong. So I wanted to kind of bring the discussion up and see if we can share some of our experiences and get some thoughts out there, get some ideas out there, and see if they resonate with people. Because I've been thinking about this for years. I mean, this is something that's been on my mind for a long time, even though I have been married. I can talk about that. We will talk about our past experiences, and we're going to talk about human behavior a little bit after that. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, basically in a nutshell. And it really all has to do, like, the reason I was saying sex in the beginning, it's because it has to do with human, when we're going to be talking about human behavior and all this stuff, it's going to have to do with males and females and getting together and the behavior between them and stuff like that. And that's why we're going to share some of the stories that we've been through, some of the craziness, and should be a lot of fun. All right. Yeah. Cool. So what's the first thing we're talking about, Sharon?
So I just wanted to bring up that in one of Owen's most recent streams, it was stream number 1253, 1253. It was called Smith Family Crush Fest, if I'm not mistaken. Toward the 2 hour and 12 minute mark, he reads a letter from, I forgot her name. It was like Winsome Bear or something. I forgot, it was something like that. And she's bringing up this topic of people on the Bertaria Times app who contact her. And I wouldn't say people, men, guys who contact her and have contacted other women too. And they come on very strong. They come on like, you know, I want to have 10 kids. I want to do this. He was kind of pushing the whole, I want to have multiple wives thing, which I was kind of confused about, because, wow, I haven't come across a dude say that to me. Mind you, I have not been approached like this woman approached, to be very clear. I don't know how I've avoided it, but I don't get those messages from guys. So I'm somehow distanced from that. But she says that she's gotten those kinds of messages, and so have other people that she knows, I'm assuming, from what she was saying. And well, actually, Owen was saying he's gotten letters like this before, maybe another letter or so. So this is something that happens. People just, and I've seen it happen too. I won't go into granular detail, but I've seen it happen where I've either heard of people or seen people who come on very strong, and they just want to, like, boom, instant relationship. They want to instantaneously be in love with you. And it's it's kind of shocking at first. Like, at least it was for me. It did happen to me, and I'm not going to say who or anything, but like, it did happen to me where it just came on very fast. And I was very thrown by it, because I wasn't expecting it. But yeah. So anyway, Owen was talking about how these guys need to just chill out. They just need to calm down, and and he was basically saying, ladies, if the dude approaches you like this, just ignore it. Like, don't even respond, because they're clearly not ready for something real. They're just getting ahead of themselves. So, anyway, that was the Smith Family Crush Fest episode number 1253 on October 30th. And that's where he read that letter. So, that said, Brandon, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the experiences you've had in relationships?
Yeah, we could talk about that. And then let me also, comment briefly on what you said too. I think that maybe it speaks to the way you're present yourself on Barataria. And again, not to be accusatory, because this is something that Owen was saying too. Like, he's kind of like, well, how are you putting yourself out there? But again, maybe this person or whoever it was isn't doing that. I don't want to be like accusatory. There goes my cat knocking my keyboard over. Silly kitty. So it, so maybe that could be part of it, but also could be something that's happening to women who are younger on the app. Cause I see that there's women of all ages. I mean, there's like, you know, right out of school age.
How dare you?
So maybe these guys are a little younger. Yeah. You know, I mean, hey, if you want a younger guy, Sharon, you don't know. No. but yeah, maybe some of the younger guys. And so again, we're not making judgments, or this isn't like accusatory stuff, because we're going to get into kind of stuff in our past. So we've done some stuff, and I've done some crazy things in my past. So I get it. And I can understand how, with everything that's going on with Owen, it's a beautiful thing. It's wonderful. And sometimes you can get a little caught up in that. And maybe, you know, I could say if I was younger and I saw this, I could see myself doing that too. Like, oh, I'll just get myself a wife and it'll fix everything. But maybe sometimes there's some other things that you have to look at before you can get into a relationship. Or, I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't get into a relationship, because you could work on things also. But what I mean is, like, why are you getting into a relationship to complete yourself? Because you're not happy with yourself. And this is something I've always said. So if that's what you're doing, then I think that after a while, you're kind of putting you're like asking a really unfair thing of this person to do. It's like, hey, can you be my rock and my support? And if you go away, oh my God, I'm going to be devastated, you know? And I get it. Like, we're going to talk about this too. When you're in love and stuff and you have people and they go away, it's heartbreaking and upsetting. But what I mean is, like, if someone is in your life and then they are out of your life, are you just like a totally unfunctioning person now that just can't do anything? Then it's going to go like kill themselves and die in despair or something like that. You know, so there's degrees of this, right? And then the things that I want to talk about, my past. So we've talked about this before, how I am, Here, let me see. There we go. Let's switch it to me. So
you wrote a book.
Yeah, I wrote a book. There we go. I wrote a book called Shadow Worked. You can get it at shadowworked.com. Christmas is coming up. You can get it for somebody you love, a PDF about my story. And in that book, I talk about how I had to overcome what's known as, well, we'll say severe intimacy issues. Some people will call it sex addiction. And the word severe is very fitting in this case. And so I basically was engaging in behavior where I later, now that I look at it, it's kind of like I had a low self-esteem. And I think that I was trying to, at a lot of levels, kind of get a self-worth out of it. There we go. You know, like, look at me, look what I can do. I'm doing this great thing. I'm, you know, hooking up with all these women. And it was never anything malicious. I've talked about this before. I wasn't really super malicious or anything. It's just that I was not really into monogamy. For a time I was, I tried it and it just didn't work for me until I had this epiphany and I had to change my whole way. And that's the whole thing I talk about in the book. So if you're more interested in that, go get the book. There we go. It's a little preview. But the story I'm going to be talking about today comes from way back in the day. It's not as far back as the Marine Corps, but it's almost there. So I was in the Marine Corps from 94 to 98, 1994, for you youngins out there. And this story takes place in about 2001 or two. And at the time, I was already out of the Marine Corps. I was selling cars and making a bunch of money, living a good life, having fun. Oops. What just happened? My cat was on the keyboard again. Okay. I think I'm just trying to interrupt the story anyway. So, and I had a friend of mine and, I think he had a girlfriend at the time, but he was still hooking up with women on the side. It didn't really matter to him. And later I found out he's probably hooking up with dudes too, which I didn't know about. So anyway, yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? It's a slippery slope. So, we won't be mentioning names. And again, this is like 20 years ago. So, I mean, come on. And again, I mean, now he's probably a fucking hero, right? If that's a, anyway, so that's a, yeah, it's all celebrated. So we had motorcycles, we drive them around, we like find women and hook up with women and stuff and find girls and all this stuff. And I remember one time he was on this chat, I think it was like an AOL thing or maybe AIM or something like that. Or maybe it was like a chat room. I can't remember, but he met these women that wanted to like hook up or whatever, these girls. And well, I mean, they weren't girls or women, whatever. And so he set it all up and we're gonna go meet them. And it was about a 45-minute ride away. We were just gonna drive our cars, though, not our motorcycles. And it turned out that he couldn't, last minute, something happened with his girlfriend and he couldn't make it. So he's like, you could just go up. So I just was like, I'm just gonna go up and see what happens. So I just went up there. And they were like, where's your boy? I almost said name. Where's Joe? No, where's Zachariah? Where's your friend at? And I was like, well, you know, he couldn't make it, whatever. So we just ended up hanging out. And the girl that he was going to hook up with, I think they were babysitting. I can't remember if they had kids or they were watching their friend's kids. I maybe they had kids. I don't know. They were like late. I was in my mid-20s. I think they were like my age or older. I can't remember. Anyway, so one of them was just in the other room. So I think I went for a ride with the other girl, ended up hooking up and having sex and stuff. And, you know, I always wore protection. That was my one thing, even though we've talked about terrain theory, whatever. Anyway, so I have AIDS. It's fine, everybody. That's when people say, do you have a mask? I'm like, I have AIDS. Sorry, don't worry about it. Like, what? Yeah, the AIDS kills that other thing. Don't worry about it. It doesn't even have a chance. Oh, the deadly seronu, whatever. No, like, it has no chance against my AIDS, sir. So we you know, hooked up and everything. It was actually pretty cool because it was raining out and had the windows down, you know.
Wait, you were on your motorcycle though?
No, I was in my car. We took our car. That's what, yeah, okay. That's why I think I said that at the beginning, but I don't remember. Anyway, yeah, I ended up driving up there. That's what it was, because it was raining. Yeah, there we go. That's why, because I was trying to think why I didn't ride up there. So anyway, and then I went back to there, was hanging out for a little bit, and she fell asleep. So then I was just like, all right, hanging out. And the other girl started to flirt with me or whatever. So then I ended up going into another room with her and hooking up with her in the same night without even taking a shower. And I'm pretty sure she knew that I hooked up with a friend. I'm not sure. So we ended up hooking up. I mean, I was a stud back in the day. You know, these days I probably would just be like, oh, all right, now I need a shower now and a cigarette. But yeah, I was crazy back then. So I hooked up with her as well. And now it's funny because the way you view the story, we're going to get into this too. So you could be viewing the story from a couple different ways. And this is another reason why I don't talk about it, or I try not to get into too much of detail. That reminds me of another time I got to overshare one time. We got to overshare about a time where I had to give a story of a sexual experience. I had to relate it to somebody, to this lady. It was like this thing where there's police involved. Okay, this, I got to tell the story. Okay, I've told the story on stage. I was falsely accused of a crime. All right. So like, and when we tell the whole story, you'll see how it was so insane. This woman was crazy. So anyway, it ended up where I had to like talk to the police about it. And I had to like give the story of like us hooking up, the intimate details, to this lady who was like typing it down. She was like the 65-year-old lady. That's what I talk about on stage. Cause it was as awkward as it sounds. I'm like, what the hell? Now, knowing all what I know now, I wouldn't. And they're probably just doing it because they're freaking perverts, right? Like this detective that was in there anyway, allegedly. So I get, dude. And the craziest thing is that girl that tried to pull all this stuff, allegedly, I guess it was because she had a boyfriend and all this stuff, but I don't know about anyway. So years later, I worked with her because I was DJing years later, and she ended up working at the bar, and she was just like, cool, like, oh, hey, what's up? And I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? Anyway, so remember the police? Anyway, fucking people are just, oh, yeah, my bad. Like, I didn't say anything. I was just like, whatever. That's another reason why when people talk about like always trust what the person says, I'm like, no, because sometimes they're a scumbag. Even if they're a woman, sometimes they're lying to get away with something bad that they did. It's like, oh, anyway. So I don't like to go into detail. That's why I was telling that story, because somebody at home could be viewing this story from a different point of view. We're like, oh, this guy's the man. And yeah, I guess I was the man back in the day, whatever. But people are going to view this and be like, wow, that's so cool. What's wrong with that? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but the reason I tell this story is to just talk about my past behavior and to share where I'm coming from. So it's not like we're sitting here and we're going to talk about people and what they're doing and how we feel things maybe should be or whatever, stuff like that, without any skin in the game. You know, we're putting skin in the game. I've been out there. I've done some crazy things. And then that one of the girls I ended up hooking up with more, I would call her once in a while, and we would just like meet at a hotel or something like that, or just in my car. So it's crazy, because it really, people are like, oh, sex addiction, it's like one of those things. And I used to even think, oh, it's just a joke, like people just say that. But it's like, I was like driving 45 minutes to just bang this girl in the car. Like, I could have just took care of myself and it would have had the same effect, but no, I needed to go do this. Why? You know? And then of course, when we talk about shadow work, these are all the questions I had to answer. These are the things I had to go through. It's like, why was I like this? So again, I like to tell these stories in, again, not getting into too much detail because people are going to be viewing this from different angles, but, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I wanted to add. I don't know. Sharon, did you want to comment on my crazy escapades?
Yeah, I just very interesting.
Yeah, I knew. I was like, I'm just going to wait for the show to say it, so it could be nice and awkward. So it's, yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, we all, this is the thing. So we're both going to share stories, and this is the idea, because she's like, well, how are you going to tell a crazy story that I'm going to tell mine? And I'm like, well, this is what we're gonna do. It's like the yin and the yang, and it's perfect because you're wearing white. I think I'm pointing you in the screen. So you're gonna come in like the angel and tell your story, and I'm coming from the shadows back here, and I'm coming into light. But I'm like, I was this guy. I was just like, I need to bang everything. Like Slim Shady was like, I spit when I talk. I fuck anything that walks. And I'm like, I resonate with that, Slim Shady. Not anymore, but at the time, and not just anything. I mean, he probably, now thinking back, he might have meant dudes. I don't. But anyway, we'll talk about that too, how I kind of started to feel that way. Like after a while, I was like, I feel like I'm engaging and I felt gay, like that kind of behavior.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing that we can touch on, definitely.
Yeah, but so the way we're going to move to Sharon's story is, so mine was the darkness. It was this craziness time in my life. And again, it's not even that dark. It's not like, you know, I'm sure people have crazier stories or whatever, and I'm sure I might have some more, but maybe keep watching, guys. We'll overshare some more. But Sharon's going to talk about a beautiful experience of love that she's had in her life. And I mean, still has, and how it affected her and how that worked out. So it's going to be like a dark thing and then a light thing. So we're going to share both sides of this. Sharon?
Yeah. Well, I was going to go into a little bit of background of like where I came from growing up. And I grew up in a kind of an environment where I was taught to look for character when I'm looking for someone with whom I'm going to share my life with. And not that I was looking, but that, you know, that the guy that I should be looking for or not looking for, but, you know, if the guy shows up, because I mean, I'm the girl, I shouldn't be the one looking, but whatever. I should be looking for character in that person. And so that was always in the back of my mind. But even if that was in the back of my mind, it's not like I listened, you know. But in high school, it was like love at first sight for my future husband. And obviously neither of us knew that that was going to end up happening, but, and it was for the same for him. It was like love at first sight. So, but we didn't know that. And we couldn't tell each other because my parents were very strict. And so I wasn't allowed to hang out with him after school or anything like that. So, we would talk to each other on the phone for hours. And that was throughout high school. But once, he went to college, then it kind of, it was more like a friendship because he was out of town. And so I didn't really get to see him. So an email had just come out. So we were emailing and, it ended up that he ended up being with someone else because of a misunderstanding. He thought that I wasn't interested in him. And so he ended up, you know, being with someone else. Right. So, and that broke my heart, but I didn't never tell him. I just wrote a letter I wrote a letter to him that I never sent. I tucked it away in my computer and, forgot all about it. And I was like, I will never love you again, you know? And then I stored that away in my computer. And then from that point onward, I was like, you know what? If he comes back in my life, you know, whatever, we can still be friends, but like, I'm not going to be interested in him anymore because, you know, that was not meant to be or whatever. Even though like in high school, he would always say that to me, like, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. And he was like hinting at that, but I like, it's funny because we would hint at each other, but nothing would ever become of the hint. So time passed. I dated guys in college and, he was doing his own thing. He was with somebody and we would email each other and stuff here and there, for birthdays and things like that. Sometimes we'd call, we just catch up a little bit, but there was nothing ever really there. And then eventually it was just very weird because the guy I was with prior to him, and the girl that he was with at the time, which was a different one than the one he was with when he misunderstood me. Those two people broke up with us within a week of each other. It was pretty much at the same time. So then it was funny because we called each other and like, we're crying on each other's shoulder type thing. And we didn't live in the same city. So it was just like, we would just call or text, and like texting had just come out. It's funny. So it was just kind of like that, but then it just over time, like we just kept emailing, talking on the phone. And then he just became a little bit more, he just started hinting more and stuff. And of course he still lived like a couple hours away from me. He lived in Tucson. I lived in Phoenix. And I hadn't seen him in years probably. And at some point he's like, you know, I'm kind of coming up to visit my dad. And we're like, yeah, let's catch up. We should catch up. Well, that day, that moment that we met, it was just like, we kind of just knew, like after we went to Starbucks and had coffee and we were there till they closed in the evening. So, we were just like, we just knew it was weird. We just knew. And after that, it was just like, everything we did, we talked about it as if, I know it sounds weird and like fairy tale-ish and stuff. And it was, but it just was, it felt right. It felt right for him. It felt right for me. It wasn't awkward. Everything was just amazing and wonderful and pretty much perfect. And we never argued. We never fought about anything. I mean, it was just the epitome of that's possible. Like that is possible. And, months later he asked me to marry him. You know, months later we were married. it was just like boom, boom, boom. And so it's really weird because these things can happen, but it doesn't mean it happens for everyone. Right. And even throughout our marriage, which only lasted a few years, but even throughout that, we didn't have arguments, terrible things like that. We worked through things. And if he felt upset about something and he would tell me and I would explain to him and we would work it out, we'd figure it out, or I would apologize or whatever. So it's, you know, and if I felt like that toward him, of course he would apologize and make things right. But we weren't, I don't even know how to explain, but it worked. But I think it worked because in many ways, because I'd known him since I was in high school. So I knew it's not like it came from nowhere. It's not like I just met the guy, boom. But we've known each other. We had known each other since we were freaking 14. And he was a year older than me, but, so, you know, it was over a period of time. Right. So, yeah, that ended up working out, except then he passed away. Right. So, and I know you were saying earlier about like when someone passes away and you, like some people would have just said, that was my life. And now I can't move on. I can't live on. I can't go on because I made that person my life. And I clearly am still here. And as much as that separation from my best friend, the love of my life, as much as that was difficult, I knew that I couldn't, you know, I knew that he had gone and I was still young. I couldn't just sit there and just wither and die. As much as like, sometimes I felt like, I don't want to get up this morning. I wish I could be where he's at. And I just wish I could not be here, but I knew I had to get up and just go on. So, but yeah, that's that story. I don't know if you have any questions or anything. I might've missed something.
No, I think, I just wanted to say that there's a lot of synchronicities in there that I love. That was great. With you too. And yeah, I think that you're right. We should tell people that we don't think in every case, you know, sometimes, and again, this wasn't exactly the case with you too, but, sometimes you do meet somebody and things move fast and you get along really well and people are honest. But again, I think it has to do with them being honest with themselves and being honest with each other about who they are and what they want. And if everything lines up and, you know, then, hey, who are we to judge?
Exactly. Exactly. And it was,
yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say it was the character, because again, I had that in the back of my mind, and his character was, he was just a loving, caring, kind, hearted man. He was like, everybody loved him. Everybody that met him absolutely loved him. So it wasn't that I was blind or like people were like, no, he's not good for you because can't you see that he's doing this behind your back or whatever? No, I mean, he was transparent. He was honest. He was kind. He was loving. He was all of those things. So it, you know, and I saw that in him. And then he saw something in me as well. So it worked.
Yeah, that's very important because if you're somebody who, and we're going to get into this further, but if you are going to just kind of look for somebody that's going to fill a void, like, oh, I'm just going to find someone and they're that person and they, you know, you're kind of discounting yourself at the end of the day is really what you're doing. You know, it's you're saying that it doesn't matter who I am. I'm not that good enough. I could just any old person will do. And then so you're going to overlook some faults, maybe some red flags, maybe just some things. And again, it's not that it's a fault in the other person. It's just sometimes people have different personality types and quirks and stuff that just aren't going to work. Sometimes they will, you know, sometimes you can work through it because of their relationship and their bond. But if they don't have one that's over time, like you had in an understanding and stuff like that, then they're going to have less of a chance of working out. We'll just say it that way. And little problems become bigger problems later on. You know, that's really what it is.
Yeah. And I, you know, I can say that 2 years after he passed, I met someone else and I was with that person for 8 years on and off because it was a rocky relationship because I didn't listen to my inner self and the things that I knew, which were to, you know, first of all, like get to know that person. Because I just met this person at work and I thought, oh, well, he works the same place I do. So, you know, boom, this is going to work, you know, and I just jumped into it and I didn't assess everything, which, you know, clearly it was my fault for not looking for the characteristics that I was really, truly looking for and then being blind to all the things that were red flags and they were never going to move. They were just never going to change. They were always going to be that way. No matter how much I tried, no matter how much I tried to explain things, it was not going to change. And it never did.
Yeah. And this is the thing. If you find someone that's willing to work on themselves or is working on themselves and you're somebody who is working on themselves, then you got a much better chance, you know, then Absolutely. You could help the person and then you could do true shadow work. I've heard people say true shadow work is done with another person because it's like a mirror, because then Every time they piss you off, you could just be like, oh, why are they
pissing?
What is it? You know, and that's some high level shit right there. So
Right. Again,
you know, everyone's different. We're not trying to hear telling people how they shouldn't be. We're just saying, hey, what about this? Did you think of this? Hey, did you think of this one, guys? No. What about that? Yeah.
And so to add a little bit to that, some of the concepts that over time I have honed into this kind of like philosophy on dating for me, and, you know, it may apply to other people. I don't want to say that it, you know, I don't want to force this on anybody, but for me, I think that it makes a lot of sense to meet people in community to, you know, observe people in their natural habitat in the way they are and the way they treat people and, you know, and how they behave just in their natural behavior without any, like if they're single people and, you know, you might be interested in that, you might be interested in that person, right? Then you're kind of looking out for like, okay, how do they behave? How do they act? How do they treat other people? And you can observe these things without even being in a relationship with somebody. You don't have to jump in and be like, I want to go on a date with you, or would you go on a date with me, or whatever. Like, why not just first simply observe and see the type of person that someone is? And I know that it's hard to do these days because a lot of us have met each other online because we don't have that community locally. But a lot of people are having, you know, meetups. Some of these bear groups are having meetups for sure. I can't say that in my area we have a lot. I mean, I've only gone to two and I don't know that there's been any others, but, and I'm not complaining. It is what it is. Clearly, that's just how it's supposed to be. So, and I'm okay with it. You know, whoever I'm supposed to meet at some point is just, it's just going to be what it is. And I'm like, that's the other thing too, is like, I'm not like, it's like, dudes, hold your horses, chill out, right? Like, just let it happen. Let life happen. Like when you're chasing after something, it's less likely that you're gonna, I don't know. That's just my perspective. You might, when you're chasing after something, then you have an expectation, right? And that's the problem, I think, with modern dating, is that you have this, this like concept of like, okay, I'm going to go on a date. Oops. I'm going to go on a date with that person. And then you go on a date and then you're like, you're both of you are having, you know, expectations of something you don't know. Like, so then you're on your like best behavior. Like, okay, my hair has to be perfect. Everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be. Yeah. And it's like, cause what if they don't like this? And what if they don't like that? And like, and then, so you're just like this fake facade meeting this other person who's a fake facade of themselves too. Mm. And then you're trying to like figure out how that's all going to work. And you're like, okay, well, do I like that? Or do I not like that? Or it's like weird. Like, why don't you just be friends with everybody in a freaking community of people instead of like making it awkward for yourself and other people? Because then it's like, oh, well, I went on a date with him and he was just this, that, and the other. And it's like, why can't you just be friends? Just accept people for who they are. And maybe one day, like you'll see out of the woodwork, you'll be like, you know what? I really like that person. You know, I don't know how it's going to work for people. I'm just saying that to me, that makes more sense. And if you look back at how, let's just say before the internet, before modern dating stuff, like how did people meet each other in community? They either lived around each other, went to the same school, went to the same church, whatever, like these places where lots of people hung out. That's how they would meet. And they'd be like, I've known that girl since she was like 5 years old. And like, you know, she's grown up into this like amazing person. And, you know, I really like that and blah, blah, blah. Right. And that's how you got to know somebody over time. You didn't just go like, oh, boom. It's just so awkward these days. It just sets up expectations and it makes you behave in a way that is unnatural, that is not your usual self. It makes you nervous. It's just, I personally don't like the modern approach.
Yeah. I agree. I think that becoming friends with somebody is way better in what you said. And even if you're in an environment that's online, you can observe how the person, what they post, what they talk about, what they're focused on, you know, how they interact with other people, things like that. And I was going to say, if you do go out with somebody or if you're out with a group of people, see how they act to the wait staff, you know, how do they treat the busboy, shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, are they being a jerk? You know, funny story. I bought a battery for my truck today and I went to AutoZone and the lady was Spanish and she's like, she asked me for my phone
number. Did you tell her that you're Spanish too?
It gets better. She asked me for my phone number because I didn't think it was in the system because I gave my cell phone, whatever. And she's like, ah, Brandon.
Kidding me.
And she's like, ah, Brandon. And I'm like, you pronounce it exactly perfect. She was not like loving my jokes at all, though. I was like, I'm not Spanish. I'm like, but I tell people it's Brandon. I'm like, it sounds so beautiful. And she had a mask on, so I couldn't really tell her. She's just sitting there like this old Spanish lady. I'm like just missing, swinging and missing. I just kept going though. I was like, yeah, man, it's great. I'm like, Brandon. It's so funny. I was just I'm dying over here, lady. Give me something. I'm whatever, lady. Because other people were there. So for them, it was for them, I guess. They could probably just laugh at this guy. But yeah, fuck it. I don't care.
I'm just the people who were in line behind you.
Yeah. The other people were just I'm like, Brandon. She's just like, I'm not buying this. Because there's plastic up and I'm going behind the plastic. I'm over the plastic because I'm a giant. It's anyway. It's fine. I got AIDS, so allegedly, so that eats all the Rooney. And since AIDS is fake, it don't matter. And I didn't have any money because it's fake. No. So anyway, I think I derailed this whole show. So
it's okay.
Where were we before I start to overshare?
I believe we were talking about how you can even online.
Oh yeah,
get to know somebody.
I wanted to really talk really quickly too about this thing that popped up, which are. Because you mentioned some red flags and how to look for character. So if you're a young male or just a guy and you're single and you're looking for a woman, there are these two things that I heard about. And when I first heard about them, I was like, that sounds pretty judgy and I didn't like it. But then when I heard the philosophy behind it, I was like, oh. And so these are the two things. If you find somebody who has a bunch of tattoos or if they have children. And it's like, oh, you're so judgy. But no, and these are the reasons why I'll share. So if there's somebody, so I have tattoos, right? I'm not going to be judging people about with tattoos and stuff. And the thing with tattoos, though, is you just want to look out. Somebody has a bunch of tattoos or tattoos. What's the reason behind it? That's actually a point of conversation you could talk about. And if it seems that it's somebody who has tattoos a lot for attention and to fit in and stuff like that, then you could find out why. Or maybe they used to be and they're not anymore. So again, these aren't judgments. But you could just have a polite conversation and then you could kind of get a judge of their character. There you go. And then if they have children, you could always investigate the situation. And now in these times, a lot of people have children because of the way society is and they're single in these things. But it's a good way to know because, and this is going to sound a little judgy, but if it's a female who maybe made a poor choice on a mate before and had children or maybe didn't mean to and wasn't careful, it's like, and they were kind of, irresponsible with this thing called human creation, which again, I just told a story where I, banged two chicks. So I get it. Dude, when I said that, something fed back and it sounded like bad. It was crazy. I wonder if it's going to come out that way in the thing. Anyway, so these aren't, that's why we told these stories. So, but you want to find out because, why, what's motivating people's decisions? Because that's going to give you an idea of their character. And then, especially if you want to have a relationship and have further children with this person, you're going to want to make sure, could it be that you're going to be compatible and that they have the same goals and align with the same kind of, morality, however words you want to put behind it, but you get it, what I'm saying. So yeah, I just wanted to share those two little things. So again, how dare me? But I don't have children and I have had sex with a lot of women allegedly. So, I guess I just
are you sure? I'm just kidding.
I mean, I'm not sure 100%, but who knows? I have had to take a DNA test though before.
Oh, interesting.
It was a person I had sex with one time and I wore a condom and it was not my child. But I was like, if it is, I'm going to take care of it. I said that and even I was young too. I was like 12. No, I was like 20. I was like 23. Yeah, I was like, oh, if it's mine, I'm going to take care of it, but anyway, it's easy to say that. I mean, I'm just saying everybody, but that was at least my thought process back then, which is good. It wasn't like, get rid of it, because that's pretty fucked up. Anyway.
Yeah. So we're talking about being friends with people, right? And then there are people out there who will tell you that you can't be friends. You just can't be friends. That's impossible. Because one of them is going to like the other person or one of them is going to be more attracted to the other person. And that to me is just a really lame excuse to me.
Well, you know what though, to interrupt you really quick, they're right though.
I'm going to say why they're right, but you go ahead. Why don't you do it? You do it.
Well, I was going to say they're right and that's good. I would say, yeah, exactly. And then if you find out if this person starts to like you, but there isn't a true chemistry and there's no compatibility. It just looks like they're lonely and they want a companion. And then you could be like, okay, well then what's this about? And then you didn't just jump into a relationship with them. You found out right away. Is that where you were going? Did I spoil your...
No, that was a good point because I wasn't going to say that exactly.
Okay, perfect.
I was going to say, I liked what you said. I was going to say that, of course, there could potentially be one person who's going to be more attracted to the other person and more willing to try to make something out of something, like, especially when you go on like a first date or something like that, right? But if you go the way of like being friends with people, you can, let's just say you go to an event, or let's just say even online, you see people online, on the Bertari app, on whatever. And you're kind of gauging those people and maybe they've said hi or said something to you on a post, or maybe they've messaged you or something, right? And you're kind of trying to gauge their character. I forgot. I lost my freaking train of thought. But anyway, these people will show you, they'll show you who they are, because you'll be able to see their posts. You'll be able to see how they respond to people. How did they treat people and things like that. But if you like Brandon was saying, like, if you see something that all of a sudden you're like, ooh, I don't like that, then it doesn't matter. Like, you never went into anything with them. You can just be like, I just know from now on that, you know, it's going to be real civil. If he messages me, I'm just going to be like, it's all good, cool, whatever, all good. But like, nothing is going to ever get romantic. Like, I can see that already. Right. And it doesn't matter. That's where I was going. It doesn't matter how attractive this person is. Right. Okay. Let's say this person is drop dead, the most gorgeous person you've
ever
seen.
Let's say they look like me.
Okay, let's just say like let's say that
resist. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's just say that according to whoever is listening, that you're seeing, and if you're single, right? Because if you're married, that's a different story. But let's say if you are single and you're looking to observe the behaviors of certain someone, and this person you find like very attractive, and let's say they're like gorgeous, and then you see them respond to someone in a certain way or behave in a certain way, you're like immediately turned off. I mean, can you imagine? You can just be like, ew, that is utterly gross. Like, how can you be now attracted? It doesn't matter how gorgeous that person is, but how can you now be attracted to them after seeing like how ugly they responded to someone and how unfeeling or how rude or however they responded to someone, let's say.
Like, what I want to say really quickly too, that men, listen to me, women do not want a nice guy. Okay. It's yeah. You could be nice. Like, I'm nice. I'm a nice guy. I'm nice from time to time, most of the time. But what I'm saying is, when you're nice all the time and you put other people's needs in front of your own, women, they don't even know it, but they could pick up on it subconsciously. Even they'll see that you're basically being a little wimp or a cuck or whatever you want to say to everyone around you. You're not sticking up for yourself. So they're like, well, is this guy even going to stick up for me? And then, yeah, they'll be your friend. And then you get stuck in the friend zone. So if you're wondering why you get stuck in the friend zone, just be yourself, man. All right. There's some advice from a dude who knows, because trust me, I've been in the, even though I was like killing it back in the day, trust me, I've been in the friend zone a lot too. That had a lot to do with things, but read the book. But anyway, yeah. So if you got to get to know yourself, get to know yourself. You know, it doesn't mean be narcissistic and get stuck in your ego. It just means be yourself. That's all.
Yeah.
And it's okay once in a while to put your needs first and say, no, let's, you know, I want to do this. And then, okay, we could do this time, you know, pick where you want to do things. And, you know, I don't know, be a man. That's all. That's what women want. They just want a man because they want to know how you're going to react in a situation if shit really goes wrong. If you're at the grocery store and some freaking drunk retard rolls up and has like a crowbar, or I don't know, whatever. I'm not trying to, you know, but I'm saying, you know, they want to know that a man's going to be able to defend her and protect and the family.
Yes.
So
indeed. Yeah. So all that to say, is that even if you find someone really attractive, that means nothing. You have to get to know that person. So again, base your stuff off character, who you're looking for. I mean, of course you're going to have to be attracted to the person, right? But I think even that can grow from friendship and from getting to know someone, because, you know, not everyone is going to be that extremely gorgeous person that you thought you liked when you saw the picture of whoever that was, right? Not everyone looks like that, but that person could be ugly on the inside. And the next door person, who's maybe just an average looking person, could have like the kindest heart, and you could fall in love with that heart, and then you could fall in love with that person. So
yeah. Oh, and one other thing too, I wanted to add. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you gonna say
No. Go.
With the whole dating thing, when you go on a date with somebody, there sometimes could be an expectation, you know, especially if you're a young lady and you don't know, you could find yourself in a precarious situation. So, you know, that's why I like it. And I think Owen did talk about that toward the end of the stream that we referenced, where it's like, you know, you go to a meetup or whatever it is, you go to a family get together, hang out with people. And like you said, you get to observe people's behavior, and you have to know your self-worth. You can't just give yourself to any guy if you're a woman. And the same thing, like when I was back in the day, I didn't care. I would just like pick up women and be like, all right, whatever. I didn't care, because I was just going to have a sexual experience. So to me, it didn't matter. I didn't care about their character. So, but if you're going to start a homestead with somebody, or if you're going to start a life with somebody, take some time. It takes time. You know, there's no rush. I mean, I know we're headed to some really crazy times, but again, that's more of a reason why you want somebody, you know, when shit goes crazy, that you could trust them. Anyway.
Yeah. There's something else that I wanted to say, because people still get stuck on the whole, like, you can't be friends with somebody because someone's going to be more attracted to the other, you know, it's like, somebody's always going to be more attracted to the other one. So you just can't be friends. And I think to myself, do you have to sleep with everybody that you find attractive? No. So hold your freaking horses. I mean, like, just because you find someone attractive and you're potentially looking to look at this person as someone that you might be with, doesn't mean you have to sleep with them right away. Jesus, hold your horses. Like, just because you're attracted, so what? You're attracted to them. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I want to wait. That's my thing. I just tell people, I'm like, you know, the last person that, it's probably like 2019, the last person that I had like tried to date or become friends with. And I was like, yeah, I just got to become friends with you. We just got to wait and like, don't even think about sex for like a long time, because we just got to. Because if you're crazy, anyway.
Yeah. And like you were saying earlier, like if you were to go on a date with somebody, and that's the weird part too. Like if you go on a date with someone and you don't even know them, you barely know them, you just met them, and then you go on this date with them, and then all of a sudden you're in a situation where they like just like throw their mouth all over yours. And you're like, wait, where the heck did this come from? I was not expecting that. If you were just friends with them, they wouldn't have done that. Right.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
that's the expectation thing. And then somebody might just let it happen. It's like, well, you know, they paid for my meal and
right,
I don't want to be.
Right.
Yeah. And there's no one else around. There's no one else to observe that behavior. When you're with a group of people, they wouldn't do that. Cause then you're
exactly
like, what the heck's this guy doing? You know, there's no witnesses. Right. You're about around a bunch of strangers at a restaurant or a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep. So,
and again, as somebody who wanted to just bang girls, that's what I would do. I would just bring them out places where nobody, you know, nobody knew anybody. It's like, yeah, cool. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing about community. You want that. What is the word I'm looking for? Accountability, because people who are in your community, who are your friends, will tell you, okay, what was that all about? Who was that guy? Who was that girl? Like, did, you know, what happened there?
Who the fuck's that bitch?
Yeah. And like, oh, I saw her with so-and-so, or I saw him with so-and-so. Like,
oh no, he didn't.
Do you want to be talking to them? You know? So,
oh, no, we didn't.
You know, it's your friends will keep you honest, you know, and they'll tell you, they'll be real. They'll be like, I'm not getting good vibes from that person. And, you know, because the other thing about, which I mean, I might've said this, but the other thing about like jumping in too soon and going on these dates with people that you don't know and putting the facade on and everything is that, you just go into it kind of blind. And so if let's say, if you're like, oh, the guy's so hot, like he's so attractive, he's so good looking, then that's like blinding you to everything else. And then you don't see that he was rude to the waitress. You don't see that he, you know, was like doing all these things were completely rude or inappropriate or whatever. And you do not even notice them because you're kind of,
or you just let it go. We just rationalize it. Yeah.
Right. You rationalize it. Right. And so, but why do you want to do that? You're trying to meet the person that's going to be right for you, that you want to spend the rest of your alleged life with. Like, seriously, you're just going to put that little attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, to me, it
well, isn't. You could lead a horse to water, but why the hell would you want to? Because if a horse doesn't know that it should drink, why would you even want it? Right. Exactly. That's what we talk about on Oversharing. We blow your mind apart with gravy you didn't even expect. So anyway, yeah, no, logic. You're right. You're exactly right. Logic. So, yeah, speaking of logic, where are we going next? What's the,
Well, we're going to talk about human behavior, and you had noticed how a lot of people, do you want to say, or do you want me to say it?
Oh yeah, I could just talk about, so I talked about my past, right? And I still have a lot of friends from that past. And when I'm with them now, some of them are still stuck in this frame of mind and they view themselves in a way where, I guess their self-worth comes from either how many women they can hook up with, or even if they have like a girlfriend or a wife, and not that they're going to hook up with one, but they still talk like if they see a woman like, oh, look at her. I'm going to, you know, like, I like to do this to her. Like, and the women are probably like, what are you talking about? Some women know, but guys are like, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Cause you know, men were just gross, lovely, sick, disgusting pigs. And I guess it's good because, you know, humans probably wouldn't be around if we weren't. It's this sex drive thing. And you know, there's really nothing wrong with it. And this is kind of what we're going to talk about. It's kind of like how I view that a lot of people are just full grown adults, but they're, you know, they're children inside the body of a full grown adult, I guess is the best way to describe it. And so,
yes,
but so back in the day, I'd be like, oh yeah, you're right. Check her out. Look at that. Look at her ass. It's huge. And now, when they say that, I'm like, I'm still kind of tempted to look, especially if the girl's attracted. It's not like I'm some priest now or a monk, but I noticed like all the time. And like, if it's so much, if I'm with somebody and they just keep doing it and saying it, I'm like, wow, I never really noticed how crazy it was before, because before it was like radar. We'd be like, oh, look at that, look at this, you know. And now it's like I see how distracting it is too. I mean, it's just, it's so crazy. So I noticed that, right? And then I'm thinking, going along in my life, and as I notice it more, and then I'm like, wow, you know what, if it's so obvious to me, like it must have been so obvious to other people that I was so super over sexualized. That's crazy, because if it's obvious to me that this other guy is, then I mean, I was probably worse. And then I'm like, oh man, dude, that's nuts. And now I'm like, holy shit. It's crazy, because when you think about it longer, and we talked about this, it's like it makes you vulnerable and it makes you open and actually susceptible to like an attack or something, perhaps. Because say I'm this guy who's over sexualized and I'm conducting myself out like that in the world, and there's a female that notices that, and she has some kind of predatory ill will in mind.
Nefarious.
Some nefarious. Yeah, there. That's the word I was looking for. Nefarious ex. She wants to get up to and try to take advantage of me somehow. Say I have money or something, you know. She could play on that and just totally play me like a fiddle, and I wouldn't even know it, you know. And it could be something she could be doing subconsciously too, because of different cycles she's stuck in because of what happened to her in her past. Again, we're just... no judgments here, right? We're so nice. But yeah, so that's just something to be aware of. So if you're one of these males who is coming to this realization, it's like, wow, dude, you got to watch your back, because you never know who's out there and who's going to attach themselves to you because of your own, dis-ease inside your emotional state. We'll say it that way. How about that?
Yeah. And you know, this whole concept of everything being over-sexualized. I noticed it because I was so sheltered growing up. And I always tell Brandon, I grew up under a rock. And
I grew up under a crack rock. Yeah, because I was basically raised by wolves. I love my parents, they're still alive, but I grew up in the 70s, man. And it's funny because Owen was talking about that in his stream. And if you're a fan of his, it's the same thing, man. It's just, I was born in 76 and then the early 80s. And, you know, my parents were young, 19 and 20, and it was just crazy. But yeah, I mean, it gave me a really crazy world perspective and a open mind. So I'm not.
And everything happens for a reason.
I'm happy it happened, man. I'll tell you one thing, dude. I would not choose any other, you know, fuck, it was nuts. I was like front row, baby.
There you go. Front row seats. But I grew up under a real rock.
Under a rock in Sedona, maybe.
In a cave. I grew up in a cave.
She's a cave bear. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there were a lot of things that were kind of oblivious to me in some ways, but even though, like, as I got older, I could get stuff, but I wasn't necessarily there. Like, I didn't have that level of like immaturity, as these infantile boys did, when I, like, because I would say things and then they would always like laugh because they would make it, they would like sexualize whatever I said. And it didn't matter what I said, but it just would become like sexualized. And so I would just be talking and then they'd make it dirty. And I didn't realize that it was that I was doing that, but you know, it's the whole, like, that's what she said. And, you know, I wouldn't even notice. I would be talking, I wouldn't notice. And then they would, that's what she said or whatever they would say. And so I kind of was that sheltered person who saw the immaturity, I suppose one could say.
Yeah. So that's why this dynamic is so great, because you see it probably more than I do even, but now I see it to a shocking degree, but I still get stuck back in it. Sometimes, you know, it's not perfect. So or no one's perfect. We're all perfect. That's it. We're all perfect, but we're not. What are you going to do? We're all attaining to this level of perfection that's probably right. Not even unattainable. So anyway, yeah, no, thanks for that. I love that share, because it's so put such a spotlight on what a defense mechanism that is. So if you're going to make sexualization funny, anything sexually funny, but then it leaves the door open for like people to get like molested and shit, because then it's just, oh, it's just a joke, and then we're all laughing about it, and then we just laugh about it, you know. So it's like there's a dark side to it, obviously, which you understand, and that's why I bring that up. So it's crazy, but I think humor is ultimately a great tool to deal with it. But then if you can't just have a conversation with somebody because everything they're saying is just they're laughing at, and it's like, wow, what's really going on here, you know?
Yeah.
And that leads right to the next point, I think, which is like, you know, I just want to make sure. Yeah, that about children raising children. It, you know, this is a realization I came to, which is I noticed around me and in a lot of in civilization where a lot of adults, like we were saying earlier, are just children in full grown bodies, according to the behavior and the way they act. And yeah, they can get a job and they can support themselves and go along with the system. But again, I can even make a case, we don't have to do it right now, but where that could actually be even shown as certain jobs, depending on what it is. If you're living and you're like a literal slave, I'm not talking like a craftsman or somebody who does a trade, or you're like, you know, someone who's like crushing and killing it. But if you're somebody who works on like a factory assembly job, or you know, I've done this stuff. I used to work at this place where we had to, like, when I was in high school, at a warehouse where we just put stuff in a box and just taped it. We could just listen to headphones if we want. We just put, you know, so if you're somebody who does something like that for a whole job and whatever it is, or you just feel like a slave, yeah, you are exhibiting childlike behavior, because you're not taking a chance. You're not conquering your fears. You're not trying to overcome them and do something that you love to sustain yourself and to sustain your family. And again, if you're a tradesman and you're good with your hands and stuff like this, there's a love, or, you know, you don't have to like, I think everyone gets what I'm saying. Or it's like a duty or something you're fulfilling. So you're more living in line with your Dharma. But anyway, so that's has to do a lot with that childlike behavior. And I think that if you see things, you know, and I like to talk a lot about what I see, and I've seen recently in my life, babies in pacifiers. This is something, and it was like blowing my mind because I never really had problems with pacifiers before. I remember when I was younger, they used to give me a pacifier, I'm pretty sure. And then I was watching this baby on a pacifier, and, you know, of course, my mind just goes all over the place. And I'm like, what's really going on? Okay, so the baby is kind of getting this feeling in its mouth that's similar to when it feeds. Mm-hmm. And it's doing this to calm itself down. So I was like, wow. And I'm like, that's probably how like oral fixations and all these things get started. Like, maybe that's why people even start smoking and stuff. And then Sharon, what did you say? That a pacifier is.
It sounds like baby escapism. Like the poor baby, you're teaching him how to escape into some like false reality of some sort.
Of and a sense pleasure.
Yeah.
Which is this feeding, right? Is one of the only sense pleasures that it knows at the time. Well, the best one.
And you're giving it the fake version of it.
You said that we were on the phone. I was like dying. Baby escapism. Not to be confused with escapism. That's a little form of it that an adult engages in. No, we're talking about babies who engage in escapism. Baby escapism. News at 11. No.
Well, emotional children at the age of wounding who are trying to be adults, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I see with children. And again, these aren't judgments because, I mean, if I had a baby up until now, I probably would have given it pacifier. But after that, it's like, oh man, that's hilarious. I'm just going to let it scream, I guess. Yeah.
I've noticed the pacifier thing, not to the depth that you did, but I would say in the last, I don't know, several months, maybe a year, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it just like seeing that kind of makes me think of that poor baby is just getting kind of shut up and just, you know, I wouldn't even say, I think I've noticed this my whole life because I've had nieces and nephews since I was young. My older siblings had children. And so I've seen them grow up and it's like, some of them would take the pacifier and some of them wouldn't. Like some of them would just, nope, I know that's fake. I ain't touching that. Don't put that in my mouth.
No escapism.
I'll spit it out. I'll spit it out.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Again, it's funny because it's one of the only ways the baby can express itself is through its mouth and sometimes like to make noises and, you know, like, I mean, you know, our good friend Adam, he had a video of his child where he was making noises and then it sounded like he was talking to him. And I've heard a baby like my niece, yesterday, my sister-in-law was like, say hi to Uncle Brandon. And she was like, hey, like she said it. She said, hey, and she's like 2 months old. I'm like, what was that? Like, and they're like, wow, that was crazy. But it wasn't an actual word, but it was like a noise, like, hey, you know, like
that's crazy.
Yeah. So I just treat them like little mini adults. And I think that if you like
you should
smother them and shove something in their mouth, it's like, well, do you want someone to do that to you? Unless you're starving,
you're shutting them up, basically.
And it's really, and again, this is, I don't have a kid, so
I don't either.
So maybe you get there and you're just like, oh, just shut up. I don't know. Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you're able to be zen-like and do this, then I think that you'd be able to you can overcome some of the wounding, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen no matter what. Kids are just going to get wounded inside, no matter how perfect you are. So I think, again, it's more about raising them in this environment of, you know, kind of everything's perfect. Like, this shit's just going to happen, man.
Right.
You know, again, you got to stand up for yourself when it's appropriate. Self-defense, the positive use of force, the negative use of force, which is violence. You explain all this stuff to them, obviously, because you don't want just them to just be like, everything's perfect. This guy's stealing our house. It's fine. No, but yeah,
absolutely. So we had one topic that we could cover if you still wanted to, or we could.
You know what? Let's see. Let's just say this. There's a heated debate in the topic, and we're going to talk about it further. But it's a simple thing, and it's about gender. And people are saying, you hear a lot about there's multiple genders and stuff. And I don't know if I've said this on a show, so I just kind of wanted to say this, and we could talk about this in the next episode too. Because, you know, baby, we got more gravy. This ain't it. We got a 6.6 and maybe even more, allegedly, in private Telegram. So get on Telegram and follow us, because I think there's exclusive content coming. I mean, I can't confirm it, but allegedly there's going to be some Telegram, and it's free. You don't even gotta. So gender, if you just look at the word gender, it comes from generation, which means to create. And this is something like the Freemasons, right? You see the G in the middle of the compass and square. Some people say it stands for generation and creation, because everyone who's a Mason is creating, because Masons are bricklayers traditionally, and they create things. But a person, everyone's a creator. And we're all co-creating, if you will, together, this reality, which we all share. Right. So that's what the G in the generation is. And then if you think of gender, it's really in reference to a man and woman, because we're talking about generating. And how do men and women do that? They do that by
creation.
They do that about, let's talk about sex, baby. And then they get together and make a baby. And then that's why technically you can really only have two genders, a male and a female, a positive and negative. And you know, anything else, I don't care what anyone wants to do or say, it's fine. People do things. I'm just saying, like, that's the logical way. I'm just saying logically. I'm the guy going, I don't mean to, like, I'm not hateful and I love you and let's all hang out and let's smoke a blunt together. But I'm just letting you know that those words, what you're saying doesn't make sense logically. Right. Just like I looked super over sexualized out there, like a crazy porn addict or whatever, like a horn dog. That's what I was going to say. You look silly out there saying these words to people who know what words mean in logic. That's all. If you want to continue to look silly, just look silly. I don't care.
Could it be another form of escapism?
But yeah, it could be, and it could be a spell. And I, you know, it's a rough time, right? But we were chosen to be here, so fucking stand up.
We chose to be here, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps. Great episode, Sharon.
Yeah. And the peeps who came to the live chat chose to be here too.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for being in the live chat. You. Why don't you guys tell me how awesome my hair looks in the live chat? I want to know.
Because I can't even see it because it's I'm just kidding.
I know the lights.
It doesn't look fantastic right now.
Oh, how dare you?
Because these headphones, I don't like the headphones, but
Maybe we'll find you a good set of earbuds or something. Maybe you can find something kicking around. Anyway, everybody, if you want more of the Oversharing Show, check out the after show. We're going to be in there. The after, what's it called?
Hours group.
I think after hours group on Telegram. Go ahead. What's it called?
I think it's called Oversharing Show after hours chat or after hours group.
We'll put a link in the thing. We could do that, right?
Should we? Should we put a link? I'd rather people contact me or
you. You know what? We're going to make this hard. You got to come through levels of initiation. We're going to ask you a question. Answer this question wisely. we're going to invite you into our inner circle, if you will. It's our chat where we share gravy and we share things. I put pictures in there of like when I'm at weddings and stuff. So like, if you guys want an insight to my life, you know, I put pictures of my cats in there. Sometimes I just give a random tarot reading. I'll just throw it in there. You never know what's going to happen. You know, we have Mel in there. She's killing it with the links that she puts in there. Shout out to Mel, by the way. Awesome.
Go Mel, Swanee, right. Wigs Bear.
Yeah. So, all right, let's end this thing. This thing's done. Let's stick a fork in it. I got a giant sweet potato upstairs waiting for me, or yam, or whatever you call it. Yummy. Now I'm going to get links about yams and sweet potatoes. Yes. All right, Sharon. What do we say to the great people?
That if you're not oversharing.
If you're not oversharing, then you're not caring.
You're simply not caring.
That's right. I didn't bring the pup this time, guys. Sorry, next time. All right. Talk to you soon. More laws, more problems.com, and check us out on Telegram. Bye.
Ciao, ciao.